You know what was on the jukebox in the front. Now Matt the Cat's gonna show you what was on the juke in the back.
Oh mercy, baby, we're moving in the groove and reeling with the feeling, rocking and rolling, jumping and a jiving, hooting and a hollering. Oh, Matt the Cat, where it's at, back on your scene with my 78 RPM record machine. I got a little wax here to keep it clean. Oh mercy, it's about to gleam. And the turntable is holding stable because we're featuring another record label. That's right, baby. This week on The Juke in the Back, your source for 1940s and 50s rhythm and blues, I'm bringing to you part one of another multi-part series on another influential independent record label that helped start the whole thing. This week, it's part one of Imperial Records. Now, you know Imperial Records if you ever bought a Fats Domino 45 or 78. You may have also owned a Ricky Nelson Imperial record. And if you're deep into that New Orleans rhythm and blues like you know I am, you spun Imperial Records by Smiley Lewis, Jewel King, Dave Bartholomew, Bobby Mitchell and the Toppers, and so many more. And we'll get to those on this week's program and the next couple of programs. Now, Imperial Records was started in 1945 by Louis Chudnovsky, who was born in Toronto on July 11th, 1911. His parents were Russian Jewish immigrants, and early on they moved from Toronto to Harlem, New York. Lou shortened his name to Chud and grew up in Harlem with great music all around him. And in 1934, he joined NBC Radio as an advertising salesman. This led to him getting sponsors for radio programs for swing bands like Benny Goodman. He rose up the ranks quickly and soon was running the NBC Bureau in Los Angeles. That's what brought Lou Chud to LA. And that's important because that is where he would start Imperial Records in 1945 after leaving NBC. During World War II, he was working for the Office of War Information, and during the war, he became a naturalized U.S. citizen. Lou loved music, but he also was a businessman. And so when he looked at the record market, he saw some weaknesses in what the major labels were carrying. They were leaving out certain types of music. They were not catering to the country's huge Latino market. So in 1945, he goes down to Mexico City, recruits a bunch of Mexican groups, makes recordings, and starts releasing Mexican jump bands on his new Imperial label. Lalo Guerrero and Las Madrigadores were his biggest groups at the time. He tapped into the Hispanic buying market and was very successful, selling hundreds of thousands of records. Then something else occurred to him. Square dances were really big, but no record label was catering square dance records to these square dance groups. So Lou Chud signed up some square dance callers, and they started recording square dance records, and schools were buying them. Groups were buying them. And again, he was moving a lot of records. Then in 1946, he saw that the majors were also ignoring the new rhythm and blues music that was jumping up. Now, there were plenty of little independent labels at the time that were recording this music, like Art Roop's Jukebox label, which would soon become Specialty Records, and the Messner Brothers' Philo Records, which would soon become Aladdin Records. The Bahari Brothers started Modern Records in 1945, and Leon Rene got Exclusive Records going in 1944. So this was a crowded market, especially in Los Angeles, where most of these labels were based. But Lou Chud thought he could do it better. He saw an opportunity to go even further than these labels were going, and a lot of that depended on distribution. Because Lou Chud knew that distribution would make or break him, and he already had distribution networks set up for his Hispanic and square dance records. So he started a new series for Imperial, the 5000 series, which was focused on blues and rhythm and blues. So I think the best way to begin part one of our Imperial Records series, 1947 to 1950, would be to play the very first rhythm and blues record released on the 5000 series by record label owner Lou Chud, who was very present at every recording session. He chose the songs, he was there for the recordings, he oversaw the pressing, the release, the distribution. He was involved in every aspect of the business. Kind of like Sid Nathan over at King Records in Cincinnati, who started his label around this time. Dick Lewis and his Harlem Rhythm Boys recorded this towards the end of 1946. It was issued in 47. It's Imperial number 5001. Tucker Wilson, formerly of Duke Ellington's orchestra, is on piano. And we're kicking off this week's Juke in the Back with Hurricane Boogie.
I've got am blue, and I don't know what to do.
Poison Gardner, recorded in June of 1947, that's Working Man's Blues, Imperial number 5007. Poison Gardner is providing that boogie-woogie piano, baby. And you know, he recorded first for Art Roop's Jukebox label before jumping over to Imperial for a couple of records. He would close out his career with a brief stint on the Crystalette label in 1950. Handling those vocals is Fat Man Hamilton. Unfortunately, I don't have any information on Fat Man Hamilton, and I can't find any other releases by him on any other labels but Imperial. Up next is pianist Charlie Boogie Woogie Davis, who made his first records for Imperial in 1947. Don't have an exact date for those recordings, as notes from this time are scarce. However, what's really cool about this recording session from 47 is that Jake Porter is playing trumpet on this session. Now, Jake Porter was known at the time under his pseudonym King Porter, and he would go on to form Combo Records in 1951. I did a whole Juke in the Back program on Combo Records. Eddie Hale is probably on alto sax on this record as well, but we don't know who else played on it. Imperial issued it in early 1948. It's Charlie Boogie Woogie Davis and his orchestra with Ain't No Better For You.
Sorry, baby, that you lost a love like mine. Well, it ain't no better for you, it just serves you right. Yes, it ain't no better for you, it just serves you right. Well, if you hadn't left me, baby, you'd have a place to sleep tonight. Got the blues so bad that all you do is roam, but it ain't no better for you. that she treated you that way. Cause when I told you when you left me, you'd be sorry someday. No better, no better for you, no better, no better for you, no better, no better for you, no better, no better for you. Ain't no better for you, I told you you'd be sorry someday. Yes, baby. I should have rationed myself. I should have rationed myself. I've had so many women till there ain't just much of me left. Some chicks still call me up and beg for a date, but they're asking in vain, cause it's too darn late. I should have rationed myself. Yes, I should have rationed myself. Yes, they broke up my willpower. They loved away all my hell.
Recorded in December of 1947, released in 1948, that's King Porter and his orchestra with Should Have Rationed Myself. We talked about King Porter being Jake Porter just a few minutes ago, and Jake, of course, is on trumpet. Now, he'd go on to start and head the Combo label in 1951 and bring such great records as Chuck Higgins, Pachuco Hop, and Motorhead Baby to the masses. And also records by Smokey Hogg and Betty Hall Jones, Joe Houston, the Native Boys, and of course records under his own name, Jake Porter. King Jake is playing trumpet on that, and Alton Redd is handling the vocals. Marshall Royal is on alto, Hubert Bumps Myers is on tenor, Gene Porter is on barry sax, and Charlie Boogie Woogie Davis, remember him from a couple records ago? He's playing boogie woogie piano. The great Gene Phillips is on guitar. We did a program on him a while ago. And he was a mainstay in the LA scene, recording with Jack McVeigh and also having great records on his own for Modern Records. Arthur Edwards is on bass and Billy Streets is on the tubs. Should have rationed myself. Oh, mercy. I'm Matt the Cat, and you're digging on the Imperial Record Story, Part 1, 1947 to 1950, this week on the Juke in the Back, your source for the soul that came before rock and roll. Now it's time for another great pianist, Lloyd Glenn, born in San Antonio in 1909. He would go on to record with Lowell Fulson on Swing Time and then have a huge hit of his own, Chickaboo in 1951 on Swing Time. But in 1948, he made a pit stop at Lou Chud's Imperial Records. This song, Rampart Street Jump, would be re-released on Imperial Records two more times under two different names. In 1951, Imperial released it as Fried Chicken Boogie and again as just Fried Chicken. Then Colony Records issued the same song in 51 as Hepcat Shuffle, backing up Lloyd Glenn on this original issue of Rampart Street Jump is Jake Porter's band. So all the cats I just mentioned a few minutes ago are playing on this one. Issued in 1948, it's the great Lloyd Glenn, Rampart Street Jump. Generous support for Juke in the Back provided by weekly sustainers Janice Stenhouse, Robert Stallworth, Barry from San Diego, Mr. Lee, Joe Metzger, Bernie Rossman, Barry from Riverside, Arnold and Linda Rosenberg, Ken Farger, Gail Kuntz, Mark and Marion McAlpine, Glenn Dicker, Michael Carter, and contributors Pamela Isabel, Carmine Mastrogiovanni. Thank you for your support. More information at jukeintheback.org.
Miss Rosa here, keeping the tubes warm and the drinks cool at the Juke in the Back.
Town. just 2 miles from town.
Baby, Tommy Ridgely with Shrewsbury Blues. Now, Tommy began his career on Imperial. Then he quickly did a session for Decca Records, had more releases on Imperial, and by 53, he was on Atlantic. You know that great up-tempo instrumental we play often called Jam Up? He did that one for Atlantic. By the late 1950s, he was on Herald Records. But let's rewind all that back to the beginning. Tommy Ridgely was born in the Shrewsbury District of New Orleans on October 30th, 1925. That's right, New Orleans. So how'd we get down here? Well, baby, I'm glad you asked, because New Orleans was about to become a fertile ground for national rhythm and blues hits. Lou Chud and Imperial Records were there, but they weren't the first. The Braun Brothers were there in 1947, working with Paul Gayton and Annie Laurie. Trumpeter and bandleader Dave Bartholomew first recorded for the Braun Brothers Deluxe Records in 1947. Well, in early 49, Lou Chud was in Houston scouting talent. He heard Dave Bartholomew's band play, was very impressed, and offered him a job as New Orleans talent scout and A&R, which stands for Artist and Repertoire, for the Imperial label. Bartholomew held his first session for Imperial Records on November 29th, 1949 at Cosimo Matassa's J&M Recording Studios at 840 North Rampart Street in the French Quarter. Most of the R&B New Orleans recording would be done at that spot up until 1955. That's when Cosimo moved to a bigger location. During that first session, talent scout Dave Bartholomew recorded Tommy Ridgely and Jewel King. Let's talk about Bartholomew's band, one of the best in the land. Of course, Dave is on trumpet, Joe Harris on alto, Clarence Hall and Red Tyler on tenors, Salvador Doucette on piano, Ernest McLean on guitar, Frank Field on bass, and the amazing Earl Palmer on the tubs and pies. I'm Matt the Cat, your furry leader, and we're featuring Imperial Records Part 1, 1947 to 1950 on this week's Juke in the Back and the Soul That Came Before Rock and Roll. I mentioned before that November 29th, 1949 session in New Orleans also recorded Jewel King. She was born Mary Jewel King in Corpus Christi, Texas, either in 1910 or 1928. I tend to think it was 1928 because when she made this recording in 1949, she would have been 21 years old. And the tune she recorded that day on November 29th was 3 times 7 equals 21. Imagine, if she was born in 1910, she would have been 39. So don't believe everything you read on the internet, baby. Sometimes you just got to do the math. Anyway, she came to New Orleans in the 1940s and was very popular around town, singing at such noted establishments as the Dew Drop Inn. However, this session with Bartholomew's band produced her only charting hit. It went to number 4 in March of 1950. Here's Jewel King spinning off Imperial Records with 3 times 7 equals 21.
Thank you.
Was that the first rock and roll record? It might just be. Fats Domino with the Fat Man, as we feature Imperial Records Part 1, 1947 to 1950, this week on The Juke in the Back. And after Lou Chud, president of Imperial Records, hired Dave Bartholomew to be his New Orleans talent scout and an A&R man for the label, Bartholomew introduced Chud to Antoine Fats Domino. Chud was immediately blown away with the talent of Antoine Domino. Remember, Bartholomew's first recording session for Imperial was November 29th. The Fat Man was recorded just a few weeks later on December 10th. They recorded that day with Bartholomew's band at Cosimo Matassa's J&M studio on Rampart Street in New Orleans. The Fat Man was written by Antoine Domino and Dave Bartholomew, who would become one of the greatest songwriting duos of early rock and roll. Lou Chud immediately pressed and rushed out Imperial number 5058, and in February of 1950, it hit number 2 on the rhythm and blues lists. The Fat Man became Imperial's first million seller, and it would ignite the career of Fats Domino, who would continue to have hits up through the mid-1960s, remaining on Imperial Records for an incredible 13 years. Why did he stay with Imperial for so long? Well, all signs point to Fats Domino and Lou Chud had a mutual respect for each other. From what I understand, Lou Chud was a decent record guy in a world full of unscrupulous record men. Baby, you know how I'm always talking about how record label owners and disc jockeys will put their name as writers in order to steal the publishing royalties away from artists? That was a normal practice back in the 1950s. Well, by all accounts, Lou Chud never did that. He did not write any of these songs, and he didn't put his name as the songwriter on any of these records. So based on that fact alone, he was at least of a higher caliber than a good amount of the record men out there. He and Dave Bartholomew had a long working relationship, though they did get into a bad argument at the end of 1950, which caused Bartholomew to leave for a while and go over to Specialty Records and work with Art Roop. That's when Bartholomew discovered Lloyd Price and brought him to Specialty. Had he and Lou Chud not had that argument, Lloyd Price would have most likely been on Imperial. Speaking of Bartholomew, he's up next. Because not only was he a songwriter, a trumpet player, a band leader, a talent scout, an A&R man, and a producer, but the man was releasing records under his own name as well. He started recording for the Braun Brothers Deluxe label in 47, but didn't have any hits for them. In 1950, Imperial Records released Bartholomew's Carnival Day, backed with That's How You Got Killed Before. And that's what we're going to hear right now. Dave Bartholomew and his orchestra with That's How You Got Killed Before on The Juke in the Back.
Let the ladies be, you know that's wrong. Yes, man, you know that's wrong. Boy, you better take it slow. That's how you got killed before. That girl you just met got a big guy for a pal. He'll put knots on your head for messing with his gal, so take it easy, man, and let them women go. I'm just trying to tell you, that's how you got killed before. but you get daddy for messing with men wives, so take it easy. Boy, you better take it slow. Man, I'm just trying to tell you, that's how you got killed before.
Thought you'd be out of the city, somewhere else in jail. Hey now. I wrote you a letter to your old hometown. I wrote you a letter to your old hometown. They said that you left and was messing around. Yeah, now.
Cecil Gant. Whoa. Can you believe that's the same Cecil Gant that gave us the number one classic from 1945? The Slow Weeper, I Wonder, on Gilded Edge Records? Man, he's got the boogie-woogie piano going on to the break of dawn on that one. It was not recorded in New Orleans. That one was recorded in Los Angeles on February 21st, 1950. I mean, why wouldn't Lou Chud record Cecil Gant? He was already a huge star, having recorded for Gilded Edge, Bronze, and Four Star. Oh, and he also recorded for Bullet Records as well. Up next is another cat who first recorded for Deluxe before coming to Imperial. It's Overton Lemons. Oh, that name doesn't ring a bell? Well, it should. We know him best as singer-guitarist Smiley Lewis, originally from De Quincey, Louisiana, over by Lake Charles. Well, in either February or March of 1950, Smiley records his own song, Tinana, but somehow it leaks to Atlantic Records, who gets Van Piano Man Walls into the studio immediately to record a cover of Tinana, and Atlantic rushes that out. On Atlantic, the vocal is done by Brownie McGee under the pseudonym Spider Sam. Now, this is a setup for a rhythm and blues battle royale. That doesn't really happen, because neither version of this fantastic song make the charts. They're both good, but let's hear the version right now that features Bartholomew's band backing up Smiley Lewis. Here's Imperial 5067, Tinana, Smiley Lewis, on the Juke in the Back.
Tinana, na 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 na. Now it's time for the Great 78, where we take a thick piece of shellac and hearken back to a time when 78 RPM records were king. This week we're featuring Imperial Records, and let's go back to the beginning of the show when I played a record by Fat Man Hamilton with Poison Gardner and his All-Stars. This one was issued in the fall of 1947 as Imperial 5009, and you just can't get enough Fat Man Hamilton, right? So here's this week's Great 78. Fat Man Hamilton, supported by Poison Gardner and his All-Stars, with House Rent Blues.
Say, man, you hear that piano playing?
Yeah, I hear. You know, they're having a house rent party.
Well, let's go on in.
Man, it costs $2 to get in there.
That don't make no difference. I got a half, so let's go on in.
Well, lead the way.
Sally Jackson, Sally. The joint is jumping. I'm on a mellow kick. The piano's thumping, man. Dig that lick. We're gonna romp, stomp, 'cause we ain't got nothing to lose. Yes, the joint is rocking, I've got the house rent blues. I've got to spend my money, don't want a cent. I got to help this cat pay his rent. We're gonna swing, sing, yes, get in the groove. Till the break of day, I've got the house rent blues. Big lady chicken and gone.
Well, ain't me.
Somebody better look out.
Pass the chitlin.
I'm in high gear, don't let it drop. Dig this giant man and blow your top. I don't care. Man in me it moves. Yes, send me man, I've got the house rent blues.
I'm Bobby the Bobcat, and I'm jumping and jiving with Matt the Cat in the Juke in the Back.
I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. They were barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark. That was Stacker Lee and Billy, two men who gambled late. Stacker Lee throwed seven, Billy smoked that, he throwed eight. Told Billy, I can't leave you, go with that. You done won all my money and my brand new studs and hat. Stagger Lee went running down that lonesome railroad track. I won't kill you now, Billy, but not be aware I come back. Stagger Lee went home and he got his 44. Says I'm going to the barroom just to pay that debt I owe. Stagger Lee went to the barroom and he stood across the barroom door. Says don't nobody move, 'cause I got my 44. Now,
Billy, Joe Stack. Oh, please don't take my life. I got three little children and a very sickly wife. Stacker Lee shot Billy. Oh, he shot that poor boy so fast. The bullet went through poor Billy and it broke the bar, tender glass. Shot Stack in his side. Stacker Lee went stumbling in his mother too. He said, Mother, oh mother, won't you turn me over slow? I've been jabbed in my left side with the police 44. When all the ladies heard that Stack, oh, Stacker Lee was dead. Some come dressed in orange color and some come dressed in red. Stacker Lee went to the devil to identify poor Billy Sue. But the poor boy was absent, he had pointed down to Chaco. Now the devil heard a rumbling, a mighty rumbling under the ground. Say that must be Mr. Stack turning Billy upside down. Now this it, the devil pick on top of the devil's shelf. Say if you want Mr. Stack, you go and get him by yourself.
Closing down part one of the Imperial Records story, 1947 to 1950, with Archibald from 1950 and his retelling of Stacker Lee. That's part one and part two, baby. Now, of course, the Stacker Lee folktale goes all the way back to 1895, a true story. Lee Shelton, who is often referred to as Stag Lee Shelton, shot Billy Lyons in a St. Louis saloon after Lyons had swiped his Stetson hat. Stag shot Billy, took his hat back, and left the bar. He went to jail for the murder, and the folktale spread across America. Mississippi John Hurt and Ma Rainey both took the tune into the musical lexicon, but it was Lloyd Price's 1959 version of Stagger Lee that topped both the pop and rhythm and blues charts in late 1959. Archibald, who was born John Gross, got the nickname Archibald because as a kid he was called Archie Boy, and it just kind of evolved into Archibald. He took Stacker Lee to number 10 on the rhythm and blues lists in the summer of 1950, and that is where we're going to close the first installment of Imperial Records. Join me next week for part two, where we'll pick it up in 1950. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll catch y'all on that flip side. Bye-bye.
Well, we've run out of whiskey, and the women have all gone home. Thanks for dropping by. Feel free to let Matt the Cat know if you dug the show. Email him at mattthecat@mattthecat.com. Juke in the Back is recorded at Rosie's Juke Joint, located at the Stepping Stone Inn in Salem, Massachusetts. For more information, please visit jukeinthebeck.org. I'm Miss Rosie. See you next time on the Juke in the Back.